This is the Steve Cochran Show. Woo!
Woo! Ow! Love that money.
Elise Glink, Sandy by Fink, Glink.com. Let's talk a little money. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Dry. How are you?
Yeah, we are blessed, right? I mean, you know, we're not in Houston. We're not in Louisiana.
Yeah, we're not on the coast.
Let me have
we're on the third coast, but not the other coast.
Let me ask you, when you take a major city's economy and turn it upside down, and the only the only rational example I could come up with, I suppose, would be New York after 9/11. But when you turn a major city's economy upside down, does it snowball to the rest of the country?
It can. I mean, I think a better example here would be what happened in New Orleans
after
Katrina.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about that, and I visited about, I don't know, a year after the floodwaters had receded. So, you know, they had the hurricane, there was a lot of rain, but it drained, which was important for New Orleans. And then the floodwaters broke. And once the floodwater broke the dam and it poured into the Ninth Ward, it literally wiped out the Ninth Ward. And so it took, I want to say, probably 8 years for New Orleans to really come back. When I was there a couple of months ago for a conference, I guess it's about 9 months ago, I was amazed at how the city had finally rebuilt. And so you can imagine New Orleans is a very small city, and what happened there was kind of in a localized area compared with what's happening here with Houston.
I would agree with that a thousand times over. We're just talking about the fact that a third of the county that Houston sits in is underwater, and, you know, try to compare that if a third of Cook County were underwater.
Yeah, I think so everything stops, right? We've already seen Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the federal housing agencies, all of them have said, you know, just call us. You call your mortgage servicer, just tell them you're underwater, what county you live in. There's like 10 or 12 counties that they have listed that if you're in any one of those counties, we get it, and we're not going to, you know, you can have a 90-day out for paying your mortgage. Without penalties, you do have to call them, though. You know, so together, this just gives you a little sense of the scale. They're covering 400,000 mortgage loans in the 18 counties that Harvey has hit. 400,000 there, and then there's another 200,000 homes that are being covered by HUD. And so just think about 600,000 homes, which probably accounts for about 1.5 million people, maybe even 2 million people. And you start to get a sense of how big this thing is actually scaled.
So what do flood insurance for the most part, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but flood insurance for the most part is too expensive for people to buy. Even people who live in flooded areas, which is why you see on the news all the time, I got flooded out 5 years ago, now I got flooded out again. It seems to be cost prohibitive for folks. But the insurance company models after Katrina, did they change to a point where they can handle something like this?
So I don't. This is being called unprecedented. So it doesn't really matter what your model looks like. It's never going to be big enough to imagine what happened here, because scientists are just trying to come to terms with two things. You know, you've got water that comes from the air, right? It's in a hurricane, and water that comes in from a seawall that floods in. And so if you're a low-lying coastal area, like in Houston or like in New Orleans, you're just going to get a huge wall of water that comes in, and so the water that falls from the sky can't recede. And if they start letting out dams and other things that are around Houston, like they've been doing, to prevent them from breaching, you get even more water that's coming in that you can't cope with. So that's the first thing about the modeling. But what's interesting about the flood insurance, and I want everybody to understand, is first, your regular homeowner's insurance does not cover this kind of flooding. And we've seen this in Chicago. We've had a couple of years where we had like 17 inches of rain in 24 hours. It was kind of crazy. And everybody got flooded out. When you have a rising tide of water, that is specifically excluded. What is covered is if your sump pump fails. So that's
But you need, and I know this from experience, you need a rider on your policy to cover that.
Yes, you have to be. You have to specifically request it. You pay extra for it, and it's completely worth it because some pumps do fail about every 8 to 10 years, and you have to make sure that you change the battery and things that people forget. But
so, for people to understand, regular homeowners insurance will not cover a natural disaster like a normal flood caused by rain or the conditions you're talking about.
Correct. And so to cover yourself, the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP, which has been around since 1968, was developed. And it was developed so that homeowners could buy sort of over and above flood insurance. This covers this insurance, which is supported by the government. So basically, the price has been artificially depressed for years and years and years. And this is where the problem has come up. It's been depressed for years so that people can actually afford to buy it because the government, for the first $250,000 of losses, the National Flood Insurance Program, which you can find at flood.gov, and you have to buy 30 days in advance. Nobody in Houston can buy it now. But it's artificially depressed the prices so it would be affordable. And then above that, you can buy private insurance. Chubb offers a very expensive policy for that goes up to, I think, you know, $5 million or something. So you can actually buy other kinds of private insurance to go on top of it. But here's the problem. Because the flood costs are so staggering, and if you look at what's happened over flood costs, they're growing exponentially. Because you think about how much it costs to fix something like Houston, like a city, the fourth largest city. And what you realize is that $250,000, while good, if you're only paying in, you know, maybe $1,000 a year for $250,000 of coverage, that's not going to work. And so the flood insurance program, NFIP, is underwater itself, just to use that little pun, by $25 billion. That means that every year it's running in the red, and when you have one of these historic catastrophic events, it really goes in the red.
All right, so does this break the back of that program, and does this break the back of the insurance companies who have engaged in insuring folks over and above the 250?
So it's funny. It doesn't break the back of the NFIP because guess who backstops it? We do, taxpayers. And this has been the rub for Republicans for a really long time.
But is this separate from the FEMA money, the flood insurance program you're talking about? That's not part of the FEMA program, right?
It's sort of part of FEMA.
Oh, it is.
FEMA deals with the disaster relief. Mm-hmm. Flood insurance, though, is, I think it falls under the line of FEMA. Okay. On sort of a large grand scale. Here's the thing. It expires on Friday, the whole program. And you may remember the we talked about this probably, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. They've extended it year by year because what's happened is if you actually priced this, and this is a very funny Republican-Democrat sort of thing that's going on in D.C., ha-ha, but if you actually priced this flood insurance where it should be, it would probably cost homeowners who live on the coasts $30,000 to $40,000 a year,
right?
Which is completely unaffordable for almost anybody, and I'm seriously except multi gazillionaires. So you can't afford to buy the NFIP flood insurance unless it's artificially depressed. On the other hand, why should the rest of American taxpayers pay for people to live on the coast and rebuild their homes over and over again, right?
Right. Well, we'll pick that up right after traffic because that's a very fair question. So stand by. We'll pick that up in just a second and remind people that if you have folks living in the Houston area in the middle of all of this with probably limited to no internet access, they've got to file by Friday. Stand by. We'll have Elise explain that, too, coming up. Sponsored by Grandview Homes. Let's get traffic, Mary. Elise Glink is with us. All right, so let's pick it up where we left off. The federal insurance program for flood insurance is expiring Friday. So that means people in Houston have to do their paperwork and file by Friday?
No.
Oh, it doesn't mean that.
No, it doesn't mean that, but which is good because I'm sure nobody would be able to do it. They do have a very short period of time to file and let them know that there is an issue, but I think that will all end up getting extended.
I mean, nobody. Who's got online access? Nobody.
No, nobody has it. What does expire on Friday is the whole program. So you wouldn't, unless they do something in the next 2 days to extend this, nobody would be able to buy flood insurance going into the hurricane season, which is now through December. I mean, this is a very big, very early hurricane, and we've got other storms, tropical depressions that are on the way. And the flood insurance program in its entirety would expire on Friday. So that's sort of a big thing, and now everybody's attention in Washington, D.C. is focused on this because everybody's been fighting, and what they've been trying to do is come up with some sort of calculation where they shrink the footprint of what's covered by the NFIP and the flood insurance program and the discount that's given to homeowners if they're in a flood zone or what's considered a flood zone. Shrink that, raise the premium somewhat, and figure out some sort of calculation that seems like it will be less painful. But there's no less painful here, and this is the problem, is they've let it go so long. The last 12 years, we have seen the costs for these kinds of disasters literally skyrocket maybe 20 times what they've been. And if you look at a map, and I wrote a white paper about this a couple of years ago, if you actually look at the damage caused by floods over the last flooding, hurricane, tornado, rain, whatever you want to call it, and you look over the last 50, 60, 70 years, you get kind of a general, you know, growth rate, right? Normal growth rate. And then all of a sudden, it's a hockey stick, and it goes shooting up over the last 10, 12 years. And what you asked, your original question was, what does that mean for the rest of the country? And it means a couple of things. People probably don't remember this, but we had a shortage of building materials after Katrina hit New Orleans that drove up the price significantly of the cost of new homes, and it slowed down the number of new homes that could be built in other places around the country because all the resources were pouring into New Orleans. Well, we have a situation now that's even worse than that because, you know, 15 years ago, we actually had more people in the home building industry. We were building many more homes than we're building now. This year, we might build 550,000 new homes. But 12, 15 years ago, we built over 1 million new homes. So we're not building as many homes. Far fewer people are in the trades. We're not manufacturing the same level of building materials. And now everything that is being made will be pushed to Houston. And so there could be an effect on what's going on in the rest of the country, just in terms of this one little thing, building new homes.
So this is where the dominoes start to fall then, right? Because that's where costs go up for everybody.
Yeah, costs go up for everybody. Again, we've talked about this, but a large percentage of the people who build new homes are not always U.S. citizens. They are people who come from other countries, legally and not, who are good at building trades, and they build houses. That's already been cut back, and the new home building industry has been very worried about the number of people who are trained to go in and actually build new homes. They just can't get the help that they used to get. They're paying a lot more for it. And so one of the reasons you're seeing home prices rise dramatically for the cost of new homes is they're having to pay the labor more, which sounds like a good thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that there are so few people who are really trained to properly lay tile, and, you know, you don't want a badly built house, frankly, or it'll come right down again.
All right, let's loop this back to something you said right before the break, and that was the fact that the rest of us shouldn't have to pay for people living on the coast if they choose to live there. They're taking the risk, and how do we mitigate that cost? You've discussed it in regards to the government picking up a more equitable balance between the two, but is that number a real number that could exist in the world we live in?
So the realtors say that if you price flood insurance for coastal homeowners at $40,000 apiece, regardless of how much the house is worth. I mean, it's one thing if your house is a $5 million house, and if it's $90,000, you know, paying $30,000, $40,000 a year just basically means your house is worthless. And so you won't be able to sell it at any price. You wouldn't even be able to give it away. And so realtors' point of view is, don't do that because it's really bad for our economy, meaning your economy. But there has to be a change because the rest of us are paying the bill for the $25 billion, which is not a big deal in a $14 trillion economy. But it's interesting that it's now Republicans who you'd think this would rankle more than anything else. They're the ones saying, yeah, well, let's slow down. Let's not do it. Why? Because Louisiana is a red state. Florida is a red state. Texas is a red state. And that is where the vast majority of homeowners who qualify under this program actually live. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and it goes to show one thing, and that's the world's gray. And that's why the extremes in both parties need to shut up, because it's not all right. It's not all left. The truth always lies somewhere in the middle, and that's certainly the case in this story.
Agree completely.
Elise Glink, fakeglink.com. Thank you for all of that and the education, and we will talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks.
Think Glink, would you? Go ahead. Think Glink. Fakeglink.com. News next, and then we'll talk about the BMW Championship coming to Conway Farms in about 10 minutes. Back after that, though, the tournament doesn't start in 10.
I was wondering. I was going to have to run right
Get
out
on
there.
The tee. Back in a moment at 720 WGN.